since I just turned it on this morning just to hear.
Yeah.
He said he started talking about by here coming in.
Yeah.
He said, I'll tell you this, that the only one that makes any sense here might be now.
Woo! Okay, let's continue out the Pasuk Hey on page 260. Let's finish the Mizmah with the Mitzudos, then we'll come back, we'll do Rashi and some of the Mefarshim. We're out the Pasuk Hey, Zamru Lashem Chasidah V'Chaydu L'Zecher Kosher. Zamru, sing to Hashem, His pious ones, and give thanks, L'Zecher Kosher. The Mitzudos David, what is the depth of this Pasuk? The Mitzudos David over here says on Pasuk Hey, Kei Zamru B'Roischem Goydel HaChasdei Hashem. When you witness Hashem's kindness. Pasuk Vav Kirega Biapo Chayim Biritzoinai. Hashem's anger is for a moment, and there is life Biritzoinai. Bo Erev Yolin Bechi V'Laboik Rina. In the evening I lie down with crying. V'Laboik in the morning Rina. Pasuk Vav Kirega Kirega. And we're learning the Mitzvah David on the bottom of page, the bottom of the page 260. Kirega, rak rega chodo olai biapo. David makes this personal, that Hashem was angry at me for just for a moment. Chayim b'rutzoynoi be'itz nisratzen li hiftichani hachayim. After I prayed to Hashem and He accepted my supplication, He promised me it was His rotzoin that I should live. Bo erev in the evening, return alone. Mar kein darkam me olam kasher yechet ha'adam v'yolam imay bo erev bechi me'apur anius haba. When a person goes to sleep, he cries from the punishment. Uveshuv bidarko yisrat seloi. And when a person does teshuvah, and Hashem accepts his prayers, umiyod laboiker in the morning yishalach ezrasay l'samchay. The Mitzudas David has injected into this pasuk an enormous amount of commentary. Things that it does not say in the pasuk. He says the person goes to sleep at night and he does teshuvah. Doesn't say that in the pasuk. It says the transformation from what's taking place in the Erev to the Boiker only comes about because in between he said tikun chatzos. Again, one more time the words. When you read the pasuk at face value, all it says is that there are trends in this world. Okay, there are trends. There are trends in this world where there are cycles, okay, like in stocks in different commodities. So when do you buy a stock? When it's at its low. When do you buy a commodity? When you think it's at its low, right? When you think that something is at its lowest point today with these mathematical, all these models, these simulations, these computers, these algorithms can analyze commodities and different things, and they can say, you know, that relatively speaking, this commodity, this stock, was never ever at such a low point. Relatively speaking, based upon, you know, an analysis. Oh, that's where investors come in. And likewise, commodity stocks, whatever you're dealing with, when they're at a peak. So many people will say, now's the time to get rid of it, because it cannot be sustained. Life always goes through cycles. Cycles. When things are at their peak, that's it. Okay? You know, you go to a shul, and the shul is busting by its seams. What are the chances that the shul is going to expand versus we'll come back in a year from now, the shul will be smaller. It's 90% of the time you come back a year from now, you're not going to see a new building. You're going to end up seeing a smaller shul, less members.
Because of breakaways.
Exactly. That's human nature. Because there are things where they come to a peak. So either, wow, now there can be a breakout. Or, chas v'shalom, you know, you've reached your peak. And now things begin to, you know, to settle down.
Decline.
So, you know, there are always exceptions, and this siyat v'shmai, but most of the time, something at its peak begins to bust. And something at its low point, it begins to improve. That's a cycle. So that when you read this pasuk, that's what I would think. A person goes to sleep at night, bo erev yomim bechi, no. You know, things turn around, things change. The story of Rus HaMoavia, what happened? It was a terrible Elimelech. Elimelech, he left Eretz Yisrael at the lowest point. He abandoned the land. He took his two wives. Naomi, and they left. And it was two sons and two daughter-in-laws, and they left. Eretz Yisrael was at its low. It could not. It was a time of, and he was a very wealthy man, and he didn't want people to come and to go and to support everyone. Everyone should come bother him for help. He left, and that was a big mistake. It wasn't just a mistake because of for religious reasons. Let's put aside religion. Because when Naomi came back with her two daughter-in-laws, Eretz Yisrael picked up. The market picked up. Okay, everything in life is ups and downs. She came back. The market picked up.
Kishama.
The things were good. So we're not talking religion over here. We're talking about cycles in life. That's the way the world goes. Life, there are cycles. There's a recession. The market picks up. Hulu. You look at all these charts. Up and down.
By the way, it's true of our national history.
America, with what? Eric's still America. What?
Jewish history. Our ups and downs. That's why we're from here, to the phases of the moon.
Like the moon, wanes and waxes. Excellent. So when you look at this positive, and you don't look at the Mitzvah stuff, what do you say? You say this is a natural cycle. It's a natural cycle in this world, Kibo Erev, in the evening Yolin Bechi. In the dark times you lie down Bechi. Vila Bakirina, Hashem built into this world cycles. That's the way I look at the positive. The Mitzvah stuff is something shocking. That's not so. If you go to sleep at night Bechi, you're going to wake up in Bech. It only goes down until the end. The only way you're going to change the cycle, there's only one way to change the cycle, and that is Teshuvah. Kibo Erev, Ritzon Eloimar, he adds in the word Ritzon, whenever he says Ritzon Eloimar, it's like in Rashi, the Gemara says Koloimar. Koloimar is the most powerful word in Rashi and Shas. Koloimar means, I remember in 8th grade, still talking about what I learned in 8th grade, one of the only things I remember from 8th grade, is the Rebbe, so whenever Rashi says Koloimar, picture in front of you a stop sign. Now we didn't drive there in 8th grade, but a stop sign, you know, out, especially outside New York City. New York City, what does a stop sign mean? Go faster. The yellow light. Mark, when you have a yellow light, what do you do when you drive and you have a yellow light?
You speed up.
That's what a New Yorker does. A New Yorker, yellow means pedal to the metal. Okay, you go out of town, you do that, you're in jail. Go to Boston. You go to Boston. You get a yellow light. Oh boy,
the yellow light's all longer, right?
You don't slow down. You're done. Okay, stop sign out of town. You come to a complete stop. You don't roll through like what you do in New York. You come to a complete stop. Only in New York is the minute to go through a stop sign. Not out of town. Oh boy, you're finished. You're toast. Go to Boston, boy. Ooh. They see a New York license plate, they run the other way. It's the plague, a New York license plate. So you would think when Rashi says Koloimar, it means it's a stop. So you come to a complete stop, take inventory of what you got, and get ready. Rashi's going to tell you a chiddush that you never heard before. When the Mitzvah David says Ritzoin Eloimar, that's like a Rashi's Koloimar, and the Mitzvah David says here that this is not a cycle, a natural cycle in business, there's something else that has to be done. Teshuvah. If Teshuvah does not occur in between the Erev and the Boker, then the cycle will not break. We'll read one more time inside. Erev, around the bottom of the page, or page 260, Erev Ritzoin Eloimar. Kein darkoi me'olam. This is the way it is in time immemorial. Kasha yechete ha'adam. Dealing with chet. It doesn't say chet here in the pasuk, but that's what he understands it to mean. V'yolin imay b'erev bechi. And the person, he goes to sleep at night with crying. What is he crying about? He's not crying about his problems. He's crying about his sins.
Maybe
his averus.
Yaakov did a judgment on that, so you're laying in bed at night. Before you fall asleep, you're starting to make a judgment on that, because you think of tomorrow, I'll do better. I'm just speculating.
Okay, it's tshuva. You're doing tshuva. Barav Yolim Bechi, may I put on a Yois Haba due to the punishment that is destined to come because of a person's sins. Uvishuv Midarukoi. Where does it say that in the Pasuk? And now he does Teshuvah. Yisratz Eloi, Hashem will accept his prayers. Umiyod, the next morning, Laboiker, Yishlach Ezrosoi Lisamchoi. Hashem will send his assistance to give him joy. It's not automatic. We live in a world where we think, you know, that's how it goes in life. Life, everything in this world is ups and downs, so just wait it out. Wait out the storm. No, it's not true. Waiting out the storm is just going to bring more storm. It's not going to help. There has to be a change, and the change is teshuva. But erev yolim bechi v'laboker, you know, this is more.
Is it that Shubha says that the word means or no? He needs to have sutur.
When Hashem accepts. In the previous part, in the beginning. Meratze Hashem. We are meratze. So you want to say, so Sir Kalman, you think is Biritsoinoi means the Ritsoin of the person, not of Hashem?
No, that's a, no, Hashem.
No, but maybe
we
not.
We are making it by filah.
Oh, so what, go.
Meratzim et Hashem.
So maybe, Enochanami, maybe we can learn Pashup Shah and the Pasuk, and not necessarily the Mitzvah, as David says, is that Chayim Biritsoinoi is the Ritsoin of man. It depends upon the will. Poseach es yodechu maspil l'chol chai. Ratzoin, it's your Ratzoin. Who says that the word Ritzoin refers to the Ritzoin of Hashem? It's up to you. You call the shots. A person who's in a very bad matzah, kirega biyap, Hashem's anger is in a rega. But if you're willing, chayim, there'll be life. Ritzoin, if you, the person, if you have the Ratzoin to take away this rega, of Hashem's rega, because Hashem's rega be'etzem is only a rega. But it lingers. It can just go on and on and on and on and on. You, the person, have to take the initiative to dismiss the anger. The rega is not in this world permanent. It seems permanent. It can go on for years. There's no one to blame for that but the person. Because the person, if he wants, can get rid of it. He can get rid of it in an instant. Hashem, kirega biyapa. There is, Hashem sends down his af and a rega. The rega you can't dismiss. There needs to be an af for a rega, but there's no need for it to stay as an unwelcome guest. You tell the rega, out of here. How do you get rid of the rega? That's up to you. Bear it so you know it's your rotzen.
Another explanation of rega is in the kavanah ragua. You can cause Bakash HaKadosh Baruch Hu to calm
settle.
Down. To calm down.
Settle, to calm. Very nice. So you're giving a new suggestion with rega. Rega doesn't only mean a moment. Rega means ragua, to settle, to calm. Hashem's anger can easily be calmed. It's hard to get Hashem angry, and it's very easy to appease Hashem. The best nida. Person that has that nida is gold. People that kind of nida, very few and far in between, where you can't get a person angry too easily, and when you get him angry, you can very easily calm him down. Very, very good. Okay, so but here the mitzvah stuff makes this point. Nothing happens by itself. Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled in the world, cycles in the world, don't be fooled. It's all toloi in, a person's tefilos, his person's change of attitude. Let's go to the next pasuk. V'ani amarti v'shana. Now by the way, everyone will learn later that everyone knows this medrash pasuk vav, rega biyapo, is the pasuk cited in Parshas Bilam, Bilam wanted to curse Klal Yisrael, he waited for that moment. There is a moment, the very famous Gemara Masech the Brachos, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu every single day gets angry for a split second, and if Rachmana Lusana person is able to calculate that moment and utter a curse and take advantage of Hashem's anger, it can be catastrophic. And Hashem said that Bilam knew how to make that calculation. He knew exactly when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry, and he was waiting, precisely to take advantage of Hashem's anger at that moment. But Hashem said that on that day, on those days, I decided not to get angry at that rega. There's a rega. A rega during the day, this is a, whatever this means, Hashem gets angry only for a rega, and there is chayim b'ritzaynoi. Okay, so either it means Hashem's ratzayn, or you're saying a drush, a beautiful drush, that it means man's, it's up to man. Hashem gives a person koyach p'seches yodecho u'maspia l'chol chai. With what? What does Hashem satisfy every single person with? Ratzayn, with will, desire, ambitions. And we have those ambitions, and here it is. Here it is, we have the ritzaynoi of man. But we have to use the ratzayn to ask Hashem for life. Very nice, okay. Now we go to the next pasuk Zayin Vani Amarti V'Shalvi. David says, I said in my tranquility, Baal Emait Li'olam. David is really speaking on behalf of mankind. Mankind, when a person is in a state of shalva, this is the human condition. When everything is good and fine, life is wonderful, everything is good, person is good health, and area is success. It's going to be like this forever. This is, unfortunately, the disease of man. The ultimate curse of man's weakness, where a person imagines, does not prepare for the future. It's not the way the world goes. It's not the way everyone, people of the whole people, like they say in Pirkei Avos, this Vart made a Rosh Hashanah many, many years ago. It says in Pirkei Avos, go through all the ages. When a person is this, 40, he has Bina. When he's 50, he has, I don't remember all the things, 50 has this, 60 this, Chochma, Gevura, and then when he's 90, he has Sicha. 90 is a time to focus on davening. And then it says 100. Ki'ilu meis. What does that mean, ki'ilu meis? So you say to a person, so what's the pshat? So I once heard a pshat like this. What do you mean, ki'ilu meis? When a person is alive, you say, you know, the day's going to come when you're going to die. No one lives for, look around. Look around. Go to the cemetery. Look at all these people. No one makes it past 100, whatever you want, whatever number you're comfortable with. So dying, I'm not going to die. I'm not going to die. And it's true, a person does not relate to death. Because it's the unknown. It's a different, it's something you don't relate to. So you tell a person.
Insurance companies change. You used to get, if you paid it to 100, you got double the policy. If you remember, now they changed it to 110. There's too many people made it past 100.
A lot of insurance companies don't want to pay life insurance anymore because they say, I'm not even going into this, because I'm telling you what's going on. Yes. Crazy world today. But a person lives, you can't, it's true, we cannot possibly relate to death. It's impossible. So what did the Mishnah do? The Mishnah was very clever. You're going to live. Can you relate to life? Yes. You go to a simcha, you see a zayde. He's 90 years old, he's 100 years old. I could relate to life. That I can relate to. Do you know just a matter of time until you reach 100 years old? And when you're 100 years old, you're dead. You're alive and you're dead. We're not talking about dead. We're talking about the living dead. Okay, the living dead. You're alive, but you're irrelevant. You're totally irrelevant to this world. That is something a person can relate to. When you tell a person he's going to die, I don't know what that means. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know, how can I understand that? No, you're going to live. Right now you're 40, you'll be 50, 60, 70. You know someone who's 70 years old? Yeah. You know someone who's 80? Yeah. You know 90? Yeah. You'll be like that one day. You know someone 100? Yeah. You know that guy 100 years old? Tell me, how relevant is he in this world? How relevant is he? No one could care less about him. No one looks at him, he's just a burden to society. He's an irrelevant. Do you relate to that? That person that's 100 years old, do you relate to him? Yeah, he's alive, I talk to him. No one really cares about him. He's a burden to the country.
Probably is a great problem. I know one time that it really rang true, because they write about it. When I was with my mother with the doctor when she was in her 90s one time, and the doctor started talking to me about her, and she yelled at the doctor. She says, I'm sitting here, talk to me.
It's true, it's very true. health practice, to talk to the people who are. It's very, very frightening. Now, I really personally believe that this, we mentioned Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Zechet Tzadik Levracha. Okay, you know, he's here now. I know his son-in-law, Kaladesky, there's a whole fascinating discussion. I went to the bar mitzvah yesterday, so there was someone there who's actually hosting him. He's hosting Rav Kaladesky. So his wife is the daughter of Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Zechet Tzadik Levracha. And he fasts every day, this person. Every single day, I know the person he's in here in America now, I don't know what he's doing here, but but this person, I know he's hosting him. Could be. Maybe he probably always stays by this, all the years he comes. So, you know, he's a very holy person. The person that's his host told me a lot of things about him, and he told me that he was talking to his children. They were talking, and this topic came up. He said to his children that his wife, Rav Chaim's daughter, Bodel Chaim Tov Maruchim, she now took over for her mother. So he says his wife has literally 1,000 people that are banging down the door to get into her, to talk to her. I'm not Makana her. What do they tell her? All the tzars. Go out of your mind. Okay, they bang down the door. She's mom is a celebrity, his wife. And he says, me? There's no one banging the door to get to talk to me. Not even one person is interested in talking to me. No one. I don't have any fans on Facebook. Nothing. No one could care less. He probably has to go raise money for all what his wife has to. So he said, I don't know the details. So he's talking about, is he jealous of his wife? Is he jealous? And I think he said, this is what he told his children, it's not easy having a wife that is a celebrity when you are a nobody. This is what he said. I couldn't say such a thing. These are his words. It's not. So I was very surprised. So I said, I'm not married. So I said, I would be thrilled if my wife was a celebrity, you know? I would be thrilled. So this person, I was talking to him, he says, really? You would? I said, what about you? If your wife was a celebrity, we have 1,000, like, this is the guy, my age, so late, you know, my chevra. I said, if your wife was a celebrity, really? You'd be jealous of your wife? Really? He says, I don't know, but I might be. I said, I don't know. I really don't understand. I says, because your wife's not serving dinner? He says, No. Dinner's on the table. She is as loyal as can possibly be. Everything a wife does, no. Now, we're just talking about in stature. I said, are you be jealous of your son? If your child, your son, was a celebrity and the whole world was coming to him for his advice, for his chokhmah, for his Torah, would you be jealous of your son? He says, definitely not. I would be so proud. Chol adam adam miskani chutz mibinoi v'talmidoi. Oh, but not your wife. I says, why not? Ishtei kegufoi. I said it's a sign that it's not a good marriage. He says, no, you don't know what you're talking about. You're not married. You don't know what you're talking about. So I don't know. Listen, we had this very fascinating conversation about this concept. How do we get into this? I don't remember. How do we get into this topic? I have no idea. But this, I believe that this pasuk is, that's how we got it. Chaim Kanievsky, we learned yesterday or 2 days ago, we spent time on this, held that the previous pasuk is the reason why this pasuk in Nusach Ashkenaz is the Hakdama to Tefillah. You begin davening, Bo Erev, Yolin, Bechi, V'la Boikari. Now, we had all these ideas, we explained what this means. We're done with that. I want to suggest in my worthless opinion, not even Kedah to say humble, is that pasuk Zion is the reason why we recite this Mizmar before davening. Is because Baruch Hashem, you made it to shul on your own 2 feet. Baruch Hashem, you don't need someone to help you put on your talis and tefillin. You're healthy. You've arrived in shul. It's always going to be like this. It's always going to be like this. You think in 50 years it's going to be so easy to come to shul, walk into shul, and everything's going to be ay, ay, ay? You better pray now for the future. Al tashlicheini le'ei zikna. Tzvila koidem litzar. Avraham Avinu, when he went, lech lecha me'aretzcha me'molatcha me'be'savicha la'aretz asher areka, and he passed his eye, what did he do? He stopped. And Hashem showed him up in Ruach HaKodesh that in this location, the day will come when your children will be niskayim lech lecha, they're going to receive Eretz Yisrael, they're going to fight a battle of Ai, and 36 people are going to die. Chazal say, according to one opinion, it was only one person who died. Asniel ben Kenaz. And you should know Avraham Avinu, Hashem did not show him one person dying. Hashem did not show him 36 people dying. Hashem showed up in Ruach HaKodesh the entire Klal Yisrael being wiped out. The entire Holocaust happening right here. That when they came into Eretz Yisrael, they conquered Yericho, and now on to battle, the next battle. Next battle is Ai. Hashem showed him a vision. This is a very big topic of what would have been. We have all these different stories. What would have been had this not happened, had that not happened? It sounds like science fiction. What Hashem showed him what would have been. Hashem showed him Ai, and Hashem showed him that there did not remain a remnant of the Soinei Yisrael, which is a euphemism for Klal Yisrael. The whole Klal Yisrael was wiped out. And Avraham Avinu, he davened. He was misfallel, a tefila koidem litzara. And because of his tefila koidem litzara, Klal Yisrael survived. The tragedy was enormous. But Klal Yisrael survived. And that is a major, major principle in tefillah. It's tefillah koidem litzara. This pasuk here is a polite reminder. You're now beginning to daven psuki de zimra. You're reciting Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis to David. Va'ani amarti v'shalvi. And a person says, I said, David said, in his, even David, what do you want? David was David HaMelech. It doesn't need our introduction. Even David said, when things are good, the bills are paid, I have health, I have food on the table, I have a family, this is the way it's going to be forever. Baal emot le'olam, I will not falter forever. And that's not the way it goes. That's not the way it goes. He's acknowledging, I thought, and it didn't turn out like that. I had a gross tzaras in my life. With my children, and with my malchus, and with my health, and with everything. And I thought everything is going to be fine.
Maybe that's why we say it before Baruch.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
This is a polite wake-up call. It's not, the life is not the way you think. And if you want to minimize or make it the way it should be, you better start davening. You better get serious about your davening. Tefillah koidem litzara. There's an element of tefillah as preventive medicine.
Well, but I meant in terms of our salvation. It doesn't say it before. He says you're not allowed to say it before you say Baruch Shama. You have to ask permission to daven. That's what Baruch Shama is. That's his shita. He doesn't say Ms. Mashiach from the Sabayas. He says you're not allowed before you say Baruch Shama.
You have to say
Baruch Shama, it's like making a bracha. Before you eat an apple. You have to ask permission to say Berach Shevach Vodah. But this is not Shevach Vodah.
Okay, that's the Zuch Sar. That's the Zuch. You get different opinions. There are different opinions. I know Rav Yosher Berach, he had a lot of Chidushim. He had a lot of different men talking about, not standard.
I'm saying, maybe that's the Aura and the Machlokis.
Could be, okay. But in our Siddur, Musach Ashkenaz, it needs definition. Why is this what we do? I mean, very common in Musach Ashkenaz. Why is this? And it's a very nice wake-up call. If David was fooled into thinking that everything is going to be wonderful, and it didn't turn out so wonderful, alachas kama v'kama, no one, we should not think that life is going to be wonderful. Have that expectation. Halavai, it should be. Halavai, but if a person would only daven in advance, it changes everything. And that's a very powerful principle. I said in my tranquility, bal emot, I will not falter. Falter emot means you're standing strong, you're standing on your 2 feet, and someone comes and knocks you down. Let us see the mitzvah of the pasuk Zayin, on page 260. Oh, very good, very good. Rav Mordechai is saying, Bikei Yesh Yaakov Leishay B'Shalva, and Kofsoy Lov, Rogzoy Shal Yosef. You never know. And Yaakov was entitled. He was entitled after a life of Kureis Tzaddis, the last 17 years. It was 17 plus 22. He was entitled. He already had plenty on his plate all those years. Let's look at the mitzvahs of it. Bishalvi kishayisi bishalva. When I was, is there a hotel called Hotel Shalva? When I was in Shalva, when I was in a state of tranquility, amarti le'olam loy ente limpol, I will never ente. See, ente is falter, ente is to turn, nite. What's the word ente mean, literally? Ente, emot. No, it's not the same word, right? Emot means to fall. The Mitsuda says, loy ente, I never, translates, falter. Okay, falter, ente lipo, to lean, to fall. We translate as one word, ente is to falter. The Mitsuda says 2 words, ente lipo, tilt. To tilt, same thing, to tilt, to fall. Okay, let's see the next pasuk. Pasuk Hashem beritzonucha marita lahario. See over here, Rav Kalman. You see, he makes it very clear when he's talking about Hashem. This goes to prove your point, Rav Kalman. In this pasuk, it says beritzonucha Hashem beritzonucha. Back in pasuk Vav, it says chayim beritzonucha. Mordechai, before you came, we suggested, Rav Kalman suggested the word beritzonucha in pasuk Vav refers to David, refers to man. That was a novel idea. But the proof to that idea is in Pasuk Ches, where again he talks about Ratzon, and here it makes it clear, it's explicit, Hashem, Biritzon Necha. Here there's no other way to look at it.
Ratzon Hashem.
So that forces us to reanalyze what it says in Pasuk Vav, maybe when it says Biritzonai, referring to man, Kirega Biapo. There is rega, Hashem's anger is rega. Chayim, there is life, birit soinoi, in the will of his will. Who's him? The person, the man, who wants to break out of that matziv of rega. Okay, it's an interesting contrast. That's
when
not.
It says ki rega biapo. I mean, the yapo and the ritzono is using the same person.
Not necessarily. That was the chiddush.
Yeah.
Okay,
no, I mean,
the right, of course. The Pash, that's part of it. Of course. The Pash Friday is referring to Hashem. But it's interesting that in Pasuk Ches, we again use the same term. And here, why are you repeating? And then here, over here, it's clear we're adding Hashem, Biritzoincha, in your Ratzoin, Hemadata, you have established Lahari, my mountain oath, as a stronghold. Who is the Har? Okay, we'll have to see in a moment. Histarta fonecha, when you concealed yourself, hoyisi nifhol, I was confused.
Confounded.
Okay, it's a very powerful pause. The pasuk ches, let's see them says David, Be'ashe beritoncha ato na'a roya ani asha'a kol memcha. David says, I now acknowledge that everything that happened in the world comes from you. Kishayisi merutza li, when you accepted my prayers, hemadito lahari, you have established, you have stood strong, my mountain, the lig du la si, and my greatness, lihiyois bo, that there should be in it ho'oiz. It's very poetic. When you accepted my prayer, you established my greatness, that it should be in it oiz. It's very interesting. When you say over here, it's a very interesting idea. He's alluding to something very deep. You see people, and you see, like even institutions that are very powerful from the outside. But when you go inside and you get to know what's really going on behind the scenes, there's nothing there. There's no real oath. It's just a facade. You have a big institution and the government gives it millions and trillions of dollars, whatever they give, billions of dollars. And then when you get to know what's really going on the inside, there's nothing there. It's an empty shell. Halavai shouldn't be, that's where it should end. It shouldn't be corrupt. Okay? Halavai shouldn't be corrupt and full of, who knows what. But, not everything that appears to be so powerful has really a nobility of oaths. Here, he's saying over here is my mountain represents grandeur, power, magnificence. But what? Of what? Is it really impressive? Are you really impressed? Is there nobility? Is there something really chashuv there? That we're translating as the word oaths. David is saying, I always had malchus. I always had power. I had a palace. I had a seat on the world stage. But did anyone really pay attention to me? They show all of these clips of the President of the United States attending conferences on the world stage. He goes to countries and he's sitting at tables, he's at a meeting, and the late Sonne Hadar, whether they're right or wrong, I don't know. They say, look, no one wants to talk to him. They snub him. He's the most powerful person in the world. He represents the most powerful nation in the world that has enough nukes to blow up this world to smithereens 100 times over. And look, he's standing there on the world with all these world. Where is he standing? Is he standing in the center? Or do they give him an elbow and push him? He's standing all the way in the corner like a Nebuch. So the Leitzane Hadar, I don't know, you go, depends which news channels you read. Why is he standing in the corner? Look at the same event of other past presidents. They were always standing in the center. And they always were the center of attention because everyone needed them. And here the world looks at this person, he's irrelevant. But he's not irrelevant. He represents, you know how much power and money and what's going on? He has the har, but he doesn't have the oiz. Just because you have the har, where's the oiz? And that's how the Mitzvah is in a nuanced way is Sataychim is Pasek. Hashem Biritsoincha Hamadatala Harari. You have established my mountain with oaths. I always had the har. The har I got even without you, Hashem. Zuchus Avos. I have the har. We are Klal Yisrael, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. But does the world really care? Does the world really pay attention to us? That you need Hashem. You need the Siyata, the Shmaya Hashem. It's only through your Ratzon, Hemadita, did you establish my har with oz. Mitzuda Stavid. Look how he touches the words very carefully. Hashem, Ata you Roya Ani, Ata now, Roya Ani, Asha Kol Memcha, Kishayisi Mirutze Li. When you, Hashem, accepted, when I found Ratzon in your eyes, Hemadito laharuri, my grandeur, viligdulasi, and my greatness, lihiyoiz ba, you establish that there should be in it, there should be ha'oiz. The nobility and the majesty of being relevant, of being important. Okay, you can have it all, but you have nothing. The Hashem started ponecha mimeni ba'avur ha'avoyin ha'yisi nivol, and when you concealed yourself from me.
There's another thought that in the Oz also. I don't know if Hashem owes the Yamun
Yitay. Torah.
Exactly.
Right. He made a Torah de Gemalchus.
In other words, I have the heart of this Torah itself.
Eretz Yisrael. Say nice things. Is it an Israeli state or is it a Jewish state? This is the big dilemma. This is the big thing in Eretz Yisrael. This is what it's all about. This is what it's all about. Is the state of Israel an Israeli state or is it a Jewish state? This is really the battle going on for 75 years.
It's a Jewish state or a state of the Jews?
Well, even that, you know, some people don't even like that. Some don't even want to say that. They don't like it. They don't even want to say the word Jew. Israel.
That's the post-Zionist.
Israel. This is what's going on for 75 years. That's really the heart of the issue.
I remember as a kid, they used to sing, the Bnei Akiva used to sing, Eretz Israel, we Torah, he do it for me, Shabbat.
Okay, they're very good. The Mizrahi is a soldier for Klal Yisrael. But unfortunately, you know, there's an element who are not yet. Yet is the key word, are not yet there. But the Mirat Hashem will be there very soon. When you distance from me because of my sins, I was terrified. Nivel is a hard word to translate the word nivel. Confounded. You know, some words you don't really get. It's hard. It's just, you don't feel satisfied. You don't feel satisfied with getting a really good translation. V'choreid. And I was terrified. I was afraid. I was afraid, frightened from the tsaros habos. You can have everything, but if you don't have Hashem on your team, then it doesn't matter. There's a pacha that goes through everything. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. The next Elech Hashem Ekro to you Hashem Ekroyad V'El Hashem Eschanon. So we have Hashem's name over here two different ways. First is Yudkei Vavkei, and then we have Agnes. Now the truth is, they're really Hashem's name, the most popular version of Hashem. There are three flavors. From those three flavors come all the other flavors. Yudkei Vavkei, Elohim, and Aleph Dalid Nun Yud. Okay, the most popular name of Hashem is Yudkei Vavkei. How many times does Yudkei Vavkei appear in Tanakh? 1,820 times. 1,820. How many words are there in the Musaf of Shemona Esrei? How many words are there in the Musaf of Shemona Esrei? On the Rosh Hashanah? 1,820. How many words are there in the Haggadah? 1,820. We're going to give you more. I have a whole long list of that. 1,000.
You missed the five.
What?
You missed the five.
Five? What five? What do you mean?
Five in Shemona Esrei, five in Haggadah.
1,820. What are you talking about five?
It should have been 1825.
Why 1825?
You said there's Adonai says 1825
times. 1820. Okay. The truth is, if you count, it's not so accurate.
The Torah would say 1820 or 1821?
Tanakh, not Tanakh, 1820. But someone, I read somewhere that it's that there's more, I don't know, there's a whole analysis on this. Also, there's also in the Haggadah, there are so many different Gersois in the Haggadah. Yeah. There are so many different Gersois in the Nisal Shemona Esrei.
The Haggadah that's 1820, does it include Echud Biodea?
From what part? Yeah, everything is manipulated. It's not, you know, there's a little bit of truth to this, but a lot of it has been manipulated, I think. I think a lot. 1820, I have over here. I have all the 1820s here on my phone. Okay? I'll tell you. 1820. Pamsh, again, Hashem's name in Tanakh. There are 1,820 psukim in the Torah. Hachodesh, regarding what? Pasuk. Oh, the Pasuk. Hu Hachodesh Hazel Lochem? I don't know what that means. I wrote this down. I don't know what I wrote over here. Okay, the word Bereshis. Bereshis, if you spell it out, Beis, how do you spell Beis? Beis Yud Saf, Resh Yud Shin. Spell it out, the word Bereshis, Gematria, 1,820. Okay, what else? This is interesting. Yud Kei Vav Kei, when you multiply it, how do you do this? You take, it's 26. Hashem Adnos, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Is 95, and so if Hashem is spelled
60.
I'm sorry. You're right. I'm sorry. I wrote over here. I made a mistake over here. You're right. I changed that to 65. So it says over here that when you go from 25, Yud Kei Vav Kei is 26. And Aleph Dalet Nun Yud is 65. 25 plus 26 plus 27 plus 28 plus 29 dot 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 plus 64 plus 65 equals 1820. It's good for a mathematician. One more time. Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. How do you pronounce is 65? Yud Kei Vav Kei is 26. Take the number 26 and connect it to the number 65 by going in increments of 1. 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, until you get 65. Add up all of those numbers for homework, and you're going to get the number 1820. You're right. You're right. So what? You're right. I'm with you, Mark. I'm with you, Mark. How many words? How many words in the Torah do we find a conversation between Yaakov and Rachel and Leah? In the Torah.
Too many.
Yaakov and Leah had a conversation. Had conversations. Count up in the Torah every word where they were involved, engaged in conversation. Yaakov and his two wives. 1,820. How many words do we find the Shivtei Ka talking? The words that came forth from the Shivtei Ka, Yaakov's 12 children to each other, in the conversations in the whole Torah. Study this, 1,820. I had a few of them on Erev Pesach. Mamish, the night of Bedikas Chametz, someone shul on the table, suddenly had a whole settle with all the 1,820s, and I copied it onto my thing. It's a collection. I don't know how appealing it is. Okay, but going back, so over here, why am I telling you this? Because here in Pasuk Tes, we're getting too bogged down. In Pasuk Tes, we have over here, we have Yud Kei Vav Kei, and we have Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. And they appear in one pasuk. It's not so common. It's not so common to have Hashem, two of Hashem's names. Hashem has three very popular names. Yud Kei Vav Kei, Elohim, and Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Those are the three popular ones, the real popular ones. And here we have two of those, two Hashem, Elech Hashem Ekra.
When Yud Kei Vav Kei is pronounced Elohim.
Oh, so very good. So it goes both ways. The only time you have it, normally it's Aleph Yud Kei Vav Kei, then it's Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. And how do you pronounce it? Hashem Elohim. Now that's very interesting you're saying that, because over here you don't do that. Why not? Because they're not next to each other. So it's interesting how one word makes a big difference. Now by the way, there's one exception. There's other place. What's the other place? Chavakuk. Excellent. Chavakuk. Where there it's Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, and then it's Yud Kei Vav Kei. No, we pronounce it.
Yeah.
The way it's spelled in the Navi is first Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud,
yeah,
and then Yud Kei Vav Kei. And how do you pronounce it when you get it at the Haftarah? Elohim Hashem.
Right.
That's tricky. You gotta know that.
The only time.
Only time, whole Tanakh?
Yeah.
Elohim Hashem. Ordinarily, it's all over the place. Hashem Elohim. Hashem Elohim is Yud Kei Vav Kei, Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud. Hashem Elohim. Chavakuk. Okay, Yitziv Piskam. That's when you say Yitziv Piskam, it's Elohim Hashem. Here, it's Yud Kei Vav Kei, and then it's Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud. How do you pronounce this? It is Hashem, Hashem. Elech Hashem Ekrav Yel Hashem Eschana. No one says Elohim Eschana. He says everything in davening. Where's the other place? Now, where's the other tricky place? Mizmar Tesvav. Unfortunately, Rav Menachem spoke, Michtam L'David. Shamreini Kel Kichasi Zivach. Amart. Page 119. Amart La Hashem. Hashem Ota. Here again, you don't say Hashem, you don't say Elohim. Here you say Hashem's twice. Rav Nachman, correct?
Right.
No one says Elohim.
Right.
This is a very famous mizmar by a funeral. Nichtam l'David, shomreini kel kichasisivach, omart l'Hashem, Hashem ota. You have Hashem's name back to back. The first time it's Yud Kei Vav Kei, and the second time it's Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. So you would expect, according to what we're familiar with, it should be Hashem Elohim. But you don't do that. It's Lasha. Why? Because there's basically, it's like an asnachta. Okay, the truck and there's a lamet. First, there's a lamet, Lashem. It's a matter of expression. The only time you say Hashem Elokim is when you're using those two names as a title of Hashem. It's a new sentence. When you have begin a new sentence, you say Hashem Elokim. When you have Hashem Elokim back to back, but Hashem is part of the previous sentence, and then there's a period, and now you start a new sentence, then the rule does not apply. So here when it says, Omart Lashem, so after the first Lashem, Yudke Vavke, there's basically a period. The trap, the Tameh HaMikra indicates, stop. And then, Hashem Oto. Hashem Oto. So that's why here, even though you mamish have the two words back to back, you still pronounce them Mitzudas David over here in Mizmor Tezvav, how we learned once upon a time learned this. There is no Mitzudas David. How do you like that? And what does Rashi say? Pull the fast one on us over here. And what does Rashi over here say? Hashem Amart, you. Pasuk Beis. Where's the Rashi here? Amart Lashem Hashem Oto. Is there really no Mitzudas David? Let me just check again. Oh, there is. I was Chesha B'Kshem, 121 on page 121. Amart Ato Nafshi. You my Neshama. Amart Al Hashem. You have said regarding Hashem Shehu Adoy Nakol. You, my neshama, have said regarding Hashem that you are the master. So that's not a. This is not a title. This is a conversation. David is speaking to his neshama. Amart, I want to speak to you. Amart is feminine. Neshama is neshama zohar or nekeva. It's really both. Matzevus. You do matzevus. You have matzevus. Sometimes. So in Matzev, when you use the Shema, you use the Shema as the Zohar and the Keva. It can be both. I think most people don't do it in the Keva. Rav Kalman, is that true?
What?
Neshama, the word Neshama.
Right.
Is the word Neshama feminine or masculine? A man has a Neshama. A man is a man. You're going to tell me that his neshama is a female neshama?
Yes.
That's not a normal, that's not healthy for
you.
Is
Hashem.
Nefesh Adam.
Yeah.
It doesn't say a neshama, nishmas Adam. Elokai neshama.
That's
the answer is both. There's massive contradictions. Massive, right? The whole list of words that are both. The whole list of words. And on the top of the list is the word neshama. And that's why when you'll go to and look at Matzeilus, you'll see sometimes the word neshama is used in a feminine form, and sometimes it's used in the masculine form. People have a hard time using the word neshama in the feminine form when they're referring to a man. Because you don't want to say that a man has a feminine neshama. That's not a healthy thing. That's like this crazy world today. Okay? It's a crazy. That's a Kabbalistic concept. People, yeah. People, this is a choyli. You know, when I was a child, they taught us is that there's something called. They taught these sensitive topics about people who, you know, unfortunately are not. They defined it as a sickness. Today you say that, they'll kill you. They'll mamash kill you. But they just said that 99.9% of the world, whatever that means, men have a yetzer for women. And women have a passion, have a yetzer for men, whatever that means. Amol, there's a chemical imbalance that there's nothing you can do. There's no refuah. And there's treatments, there's all different degrees. I don't know the problem, but it was taught to us that there are people that are a chemical imbalance, and they're coming to this world, and they're men, and they don't have a yetzer for nashim, and it's a terrible thing. It's a disease where something genetically went wrong, and only Hashem knows. And these people suffer very, very much their whole life. Terrible. Someone explained to me. Someone I know who deals with this. He explained to me. I'm talking an Orthodox Jew. I'm not talking about the goyim. To an Orthodox Jew. problem. The pain, they live their whole life. And I guess, isn't there something they can do? Isn't there some steroids, some this and that? He says, no. It's really, when everything comes down to this therapy, he told me there's certain therapies they can go for. But when everything's said and done, the people who are Orthodox Jews, they really suffer their whole life. So today, they'll tell you, I'm not even going there, okay? But then, I got a little bit older, and I started learning Kabbalah with Meir. We learn every night, come, we learn 3 o'clock. We learn Kabbalah. We learn Kabbalah, after Chatzos, we learn Kabbalah. And these books that we should never look at, they say these concepts that it happens sometimes that Hashem puts a female neshama in the guf, in the male body.
Uh-oh.
And that explains why. That explains. This is what I'm telling you is total nonsense because I don't know what I'm talking about. Okay, I don't know what I'm talking about. But that gives you a little bit of an appreciation, of an understanding. How does it happen in this world? People suffer.
The feminine side.
People suffer. People are choilim. They suffer. I'm not talking about the 21st century because the world today is mamish off the cliff. Off the cliff. We're talking about, go back when you were children, when they dealt with this in a more responsible, normal way. It gives you, I'll tell you something very scary. I have this incredible, incredible book from Ringel. Is that the name? Who's the author of the Chicken Soup book? You,
Chicken Soup for the Soul?
Yeah, Hennis.
Ringel,
Hennis. What's her name, the one that... I think it's Archgold's best seller ever. Biographies. What was her name?
Sarah
Rigler. She wrote the biography for Archgold on who? Hennis?
Henny.
Henny Machlis. Okay. Machlis,
sure.
Okay. I think that was the top seller biography.
She's a sister-in-law to the doctor with Breezer.
No,
who?
Stove,
yes.
No. Yeah.
Machlis? Okay. She is legit. Okay, I'm telling you this. She is as legit and respected as it possibly gets. Sarah Ringler. Right?
Sarah Yochanan.
She is she's respected in the world, the Orthodox community.
She writes on HFR.
Everything. She writes all over the place. Every publication she writes. You'll find her everywhere. Everywhere you go. She is respected. She wrote a book that no one wanted to publish. What did she write? She wrote a book. She herself is the Baal Teshuva. She has the most bizarre story you've ever heard.
I mean,
you read her story, you wouldn't believe it. You wouldn't believe where she came from, her whole story. And she's also a child of a Holocaust survivors, if I'm not mistaken. And she was plagued by nightmares of the Holocaust in her early childhood, and the dreams that she had have absolutely no explanation. And she was basically, and she came up with this idea, which was mamish putting chayim for, pretty much, is that she is a Gilgal, okay, I don't know what I'm talking about, this is her, a Gilgal of someone that was murdered in the Holocaust by the Nazis. And she thought she was crazy, and anytime she would talk about this, the people would say to her, you know, you're a Looney Tune for talking like this. But over time, she posted her story once online, and she started getting a flood. It was years ago, a flood of messages, correspondence, just like her. People that have dreams who know from nothing. They never even heard the word Holocaust. They grew up somewhere middle of the parents never taught them anything. And they have these dreams of going into the gas chambers.
Yeah.
And dreams, one more bizarre than the other. She has hundreds, maybe even thousands of these stories. She researched the stories. I think she selected 120 that she felt were just so authentic as can possibly be. She compiled them and she put them in a book. I have it over here on the shelf over here. I read the book. I read the book. I don't know. I have it over here on the shelf. I'll show it to you later. And she wrote this book, 120 stories organized in different ways. I read it from cover to cover. I was just baffled, fascinated. I don't know what these... But one thing to me is very, very disturbing about the book. And that's why many, many of the stories, maybe I'm even suggesting even 60% of the stories, is where the person speaking has dreams of dying in the Holocaust as a different gender. They're now males, they're men, and the story they're telling you is the recurring dream, I was a girl. Or now they're a female, they're telling you about a man. And this is over and over again. Okay, then she has a lot of stories where people who are now Jews were goyim. One of them she doesn't want to write about. She doesn't write about, there's one category she says she's not going to write about. Maybe it was people who are today goyim and imagine they were Jews or the other way around. I don't remember. There's one category she said that Rabbanim said she shouldn't write about. And like, listen, this whole thing is always like, you know, this is not for us. And that's why a lot of, no one wanted to publish her book, obviously. It was published, even though she's connected to every organization in the world, I don't think anyone wanted to publish it. So she published it privately, if I'm not mistaken. But she has there in the beginning, and basically haskamas, I don't know haskamas, but it's done very well where she has from all of the Gedolei Yisrael, what they say about this. All mamish, one after the other. It's very, very fascinating. So why am I telling you this? Because what we're hearing over here, that Dovid says, is amart. The word neshama. We're dealing over here with neshama. We got over here on a tangent. The amart in this pasuk tez, mizmar tez zayin, nichtam le David, where Hashem's name appears twice, back to back, yud ke vav ke, and then it's aleph dalit nun yud. And David says, Omart la Hashem, Hashem oto. And how come you don't say Omart la Hashem, Elohim oto? Isn't that the convention? So I told you one answer. I want to now tell you a chiddush. You can say such a thing. That Yud Kei Vav Kei Hashem ben Neshama, first of all, this is in the feminine form. Omart. David is speaking to his Neshama. Omart. Doesn't say Omart at all. Amart. Amart is the feminine form. You're speaking to a woman. You're talking to a woman, you say to them, you said yesterday the following. I want to quote what you said to me. You said. You don't say to the woman, Amar. You don't say to the woman, Amarta. Amarta. You say, Amart. You, the woman, you said this. So David, and according to the Mitzvah David, David is addressing his neshama. And David is referring to his neshama in the feminine form. Is that correct? Is a neshama really a female? David is saying that he has a female neshama? What does that mean? Many people don't like that. Because if you're a man, it means you have a male neshama. If you're a female, you have a female neshama. Okay, we're going into heavy-duty Kabbalah here. I don't know what all this means. Is there such a thing? Is Hashem a male or a female? Depends on your ass. Is Hashem a male or a female? It says, if Hashem is a male, I'll prove to you Hashem is a male. I'll prove it. Hashem wears tefillin. The Gemara says Hashem wears tefillin. He wears a talus. Did you ever see a woman wear a talus and tefillin? Don't go there. Don't go there, right? Don't go there. It says Hashem was nesatev kashliach tzibar. Could a woman be a... I'm just playing with you. I don't know anything. I'm just playing with you this concept. It says that Hashem was nisates b'talz kishliach tzibur. Even if you're going to tell me that Bruria and Rashi's daughters and Michal Bashal were tefillin, did they wear tzitzis? I have a whole sefer of all these different women who wore tzitzis. They talk about some nashim who wore tzitzis. And the Rabbanim, they said, you're not allowed to, but don't start up with them. Don't fight with them. You don't look for trouble. But could a woman be a shliach tzibur? Could a woman be a shliach tzibur? It says that Hashem was nesatez b'talis as a shliach tzibur and said Hashem. No, they don't count. I'm sorry, they don't count. And said in Orthodox Jewish law, you have a what?
Obviously, it was a fringe group.
It was a what?
A fringe group.
A fringe group. In the look in Shulchan Aruch, maybe you'll find in the Kairos and Chazal that Noshim were tefillin. Maybe you'll find, okay, but you're not going to find anywhere that a woman is a shliach tzibur. That you're not going to find. That you're not going to find. Prove it. A woman can lay in the Megillah. You'll find. A woman can get an Aliyah. You'll find. A woman can lay. You'll find. You'll find it says Shulchan Aruch, a woman getting aliyah, a woman can lay. You don't do this today.
Tosefta Megillah talks about women getting aliyah.
Right, the Gemara, the Shulchan Aruch talks about it. The Mishnah Berurah brings it down. They talk about it. Can a woman get an aliyah? Can a woman lay? Hey, we don't do this. But you're going to find me somewhere, B'chol HaTorah Kula, from beginning to end, anywhere, that a woman can be the Shaliach Tzibur? That you're not going to find. What? You got me. You're not going to find a woman. And if it says that Hashem was Nisatef in the Talis, Kishliach Tzibur, and taught Moshe Rabbeinu the Yud Gimel Midah Sarachamim, case closed. Hashem is a male. Okay, obviously, I'm just saying things that don't make any sense. I'm just playing with you over here. But is the word Neshama a Zachar or a Nekeva? It's both. Rabbi Lenschitz, you should be well. You should be good and well. He has a sefer called Mafteach Hadeles. Baruch, you familiar with it? Rabbi Lenschitz, right? Right. So Lenschitz, he wrote a sefer on Diktuk. He was one of the world biggest experts in the Haredi world. In the Haredi world, Rabbi Baruch knows him. He was my sixth grade rabbi. He was always into Diktuk. His son told me that when he got married, all of his friends they all shepherded him to no end. Oh, you're getting married. When you under the chuppah, you're going to say to your kala, Hariat mikudesh asli bitabas zu or bitabas zo. What are you going to say under the chuppah? What are you going to say? Okay, the yeshiva world they say zu, but according to the rules of Diktuk, it's the Tabas Zo. And there are Rabbanim who say you should say Zo. In the Art Scroll Siddur, it says Zu. It says Zu in the Art Scroll Siddur. Why? So they would chop him, but he wrote a sefer, which is a very important sefer called Mafteach Hadeles. What? The Madrich, it says Zo? Article Madrich, the RCA?
So.
The RCA, article published it for the RCA Madrich. I have it at home, the RCA Madrich.
They have.
Pukhazima, what's over there? Let's see. But any event, it says. Any event, so in his Sefer, he has a list of words that he compiled from Tanakh. It's a very important Sefer because it's everything there is rooted. Heavily rooted in the classic, in the very classic Rishonim, and involves the mastery of Tanakh in a very unique way to present. It's in the yeshiva world. You know, you go into the Eichler, there's a whole bookcase of books on Diktuk, and the very chashuv svarim. Don't get me wrong, everything is chashuv. This sefer is a very unique sefer, and he has compiled a list of words that are used in Tanakh, Zohar and Nekeva, and one of them is the word neshama. So David over here refers to neshama in feminine form. So I want to say a chiddush to you. Every time that you say Hashem Elokim, is where you're addressing Hashem as a Zohar. In this context. No, I'm not really saying it correctly. Over here, David is addressing his neshama, Amat. You, my neshama, that is a female, you have said regarding Hashem, which could be a zohar also. But once you already introduce the element of a feminine neshama is describing the Ribbono Shel Olam, it's describing Hashem from a feminine perspective. Because Hashem is also feminine. Hashem created Zohar Unikeva Bira'am. Hashem is Koilum Alts. But a feminine neshama can only describe what it relates to. If the feminine neshama is describing Hashem, it's describing Hashem from a feminine perspective. If a masculine neshama is describing Hashem, it's describing Hashem from a masculine perspective. Maybe what I'm saying is total nonsense, probably is. But this pasuk in Mizmor Tezayin, Michtam L'David, Omart, you my neshama, my feminine neshama, I remember we had a conversation once upon a time, and you once told me, regarding Hashem, that he is the master of the world. So you can't say, Amart LaHashem Elokim. Because that concept of Elokim and Hashem Elokim is almost always used, besides the other obvious answer, is how you break up the sentence and you're only putting a period in between the two. But even if you wouldn't want to go with that, every time you have Hashem Elokim, it's always a statement. And the statement is always being said by a Navi. A Navi, one of the prophets, Yirmiyah, Yeshaya, or in Chumash, wherever you have it, it's being said by a male. Hashem Elokim! Kol Yamar Hashem Elokim! It's always being said from as a statement from a male's perspective. So when you put the two together, it's what are you coming to add by saying Aleph Dalet Nun Yud that you did not already say by saying Yud Kei Vav Kei? All right, so these are just playing around over here with this in Elecha, which we will read the so we'll stop. Elecha Hashem Ekra V'el Hashem Eshanan Pasuk Test Mr. David. Let's see the Pasuk Test. There is no Pasuk Test, so therefore we're going to stop over here, take a short break, and then we're going to talk about something else. Let it be.